In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Testing. Now. So in the epistle this morning, I hope some of the young people noticed what was read in the epistle today, because in the children's sermon last Sunday, if you recall, I made mention of that specific text from chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Hebrews. It wasn't in the reading last Sunday, but it was in the reading for last Saturday, which was the feast of St. Raphael, whom we were remembering. So we talked about that text a little bit, and then here it is. It shows up as the Sunday reading because we are commemorating another holy hierarch, another saint who is a bishop, and it's St. John Chrysostom. So that's why we got that reading today from Hebrews. A very important reading, and I want to mention once again how important that is to us as Christians, and most especially at this time of the year. We're just about to enter into a holy season. So we hear these words. The epistle tells us that it's fitting for us. We need the ministry of a high priest that is holy, blameless, separate from sinners, you know, and most specifically doesn't have the need to offer up sacrifices for his own sins before he offers up sacrifices for the sins of the people, because he has no sins. This is the kind of priest that we need. And then it goes on to say, we have such a high priest. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. He is seated right there by God in the true tabernacle, the true tabernacle of the holy place, which is made by God, made by the Lord and not by man. So we want to focus in on that and what that means for us today. Of course, it's talking about Jesus. And if we think about the context of Hebrews, what it's trying to teach us, and the history of the people of Israel. Remember, if we want to go and look that up in Leviticus, it tells us very specifically how God wanted his people to worship in the wilderness. Once they were set free from bondage in Egypt, and they wandered for many, many years, God allowed them to worship him, and he told them very specifically, this is what you build, this is how it's supposed to look, this is how long, how high, etc. And he was there in the midst of them. He appeared to them in various forms as a presence. So the place where God dwelt in the temple was the sanctuary. And we get now from that letter of Hebrews stated very clearly that what appeared in the wilderness to the Israelites was only a shadow of the reality to come. You know, the true tabernacle is made by the Lord and not by man, as it says. So God himself made it. It's Jesus Christ himself. It's Jesus coming in the flesh. It's God made man, as we said last Sunday, God dwelling among us. You know, he came and he pitched his tent with us. He became one of us. That's the whole mystery of the incarnation and what we're on the verge of commemorating with Advent. On November 15th, we start the Advent season. We start the Nativity Fast. We start to prepare and to pray and to make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh. Remember, his name is Emmanuel. In the prophecy, God with us. So God really with us, dwelling in us. That's what we get in that today. So Jesus comes, and God is with us. You know, as it says in the Gospel of John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Right? And we have beheld his glory. It was a real, concrete person. So we have a concrete, real context for what came before, in the shadow, if you read Leviticus. So then Jesus tells his disciples at one point, I give you a new commandment. I give you this new commandment. And what Jesus says is that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, if we've been paying attention all along, we know that part of that is new and part of that is not so new. In the gospel today, a lawyer stood up to ask Jesus a question. What do I have to do to have eternal life? What must I do? And Jesus says, well, look, you have the law. What does it say? And the lawyer kind of reiterates some things that are in that law. Most importantly, summarized in this, love God and love your neighbor. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says that's the greatest commandment. Love God, and the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So then the lawyer seeks to justify himself, as it says. He's like someone who says, well, how far do I really have to take this, you know? What's the minimum I could get away with? That's what that really means. So he's trying to test Jesus. How far do I really have to go? Who's my neighbor? So Jesus tells the story, and it's that wonderful parable that's kind of the quintessential story of how we are to interact with the other, the neighbor. And it asks the question, who is the neighbor? It's not just the person that lives next door to you. Some of us might think, or maybe the lawyer thought, you know, if I let my next door neighbor borrow a loaf of bread, is that loving my neighbor? But Jesus tells the story of the Samaritan who helps. The Samaritan who goes out of his way to help somebody he's a sworn enemy to. You know? So think about that, beloved. And for this, it should be something that challenges us personally. Not just at Advent, but every day of our Christian life. Father Hopko, who was my teacher at the seminary, he put it this way. It could be a rule, he said. This is the rule that we can go by. The person that you hate the most, and we all hate people and have, you know, feelings in our sinful nature in a worldly sense, the person that you hate the most, that's how much you love God. So think about that. I'll say it again. The person you hate the most in this world, that's how much you really love God. Because now that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, now that God is with us, you know, we have the real high priest ministering in that sanctuary, we have to respond to God in a real way. We know that God loves us. It's one of the first things we learn in our faith. We are loved by God. We know that. So how do we respond to that love? We respond by loving him back and doing the things that he tells us to do, the things that he teaches, that he commands. So it's really a commandment. Love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? It's the one you hate the most. A personal challenge to all of us today. So we get this gospel of the Good Samaritan, and we're told just how far we're expected to go if we really and truly love God. And I like to bring that up today, especially on the feast of St. John Chrysostom, because we know a few things about his life. You know, he was a very important bishop. He's one of the holy fathers that we refer to, one of the three holy hierarchs, along with St. Gregory the Theologian, and St. Basil the Great. Those three are often, they are commemorated together, and we sort of rank them together. But John is known specifically and most importantly for being the one who compiled the Divine Liturgy we now celebrate, the one that's celebrated on most Sundays of the year. He put the form together. He gave us that anaphora prayer that we'll hear in just a little bit. So St. John commemorated every divine liturgy we celebrate because he's the one who gave us the liturgy. St. John, called the golden mouth, the one who speaks the eloquent words, he had a great gift for preaching, a great gift for writing and explaining the books of the Bible. He did many influential writings and wrote on the priesthood too. That's a seminal work for anybody who's interested in what the Holy Fathers say about the priesthood. On the Priesthood by St. John Chrysostom. And On Marriage and the Family. Some very good, wise words from St. John. So he spoke to us. He taught us the word. He gave us the divine liturgy. A little interesting fact about St. John is he was sort of being primed for the priesthood. He entered a monastery. He was under a teacher. He was learning. And he actually tried to avoid ordination. He didn't want to be ordained. He hid and he ran away. Not that he didn't want to rise to the duty and the calling that God was bringing him to, but he was humble and he was trying to make absolutely sure this is what God wanted him to do. Knowing that it's a huge undertaking, he hid and he ran away until it was inevitable and he accepted to be ordained. So shows us that a lot of times we hear about people pursuing ordination like a, you know, with a great ambition, like a career vocation. But really, John, in his humility and in his piety and the real sense that he was called, tried to put it off until he was absolutely sure. So that's a great lesson we get from him too about humility and personal ambition. But I want to finally say that he is credited with this expression: it's a greater miracle to feed the hungry than to raise the dead. Maybe it's the other way. To feed the hungry is a greater miracle even than raising the dead. So what wonderful words from the Golden Mouth saint, and to hear it today as we're talking about love for the neighbor. You know, that's really the essence of what we do, what we believe, and how we respond in the world if we in turn love God, since he loved us first. It's the only thing we can do, beloved in Christ. You and I can't raise up the dead, can we? The Lord will do that at the last day when he comes in glory. But on this earth, in this world, now, we can and should feed the neighbor. Treat the neighbor as you would yourself and love that person to the extent that Jesus loves us when he gives up his life on the cross. That's the new part of the commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. They already had that, as we see from the gospel. The people of God knew to love one another. But what does it really mean? How far do we take it, you know? Now with God among us, dwelling in us, pitching his tent, Emmanuel, God with us, we have the great example, and it's the perfect example: as I have loved you. So with these words, we contemplate and we prepare to enter into the holy season of Advent, where the Lord is made manifest in flesh and blood at his nativity, and all the prayers that go with that. We ask especially for the prayers of St. John Chrysostom, Archbishop of Constantinople, and of all the saints to sustain us through this Advent season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.